Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, founder of the Sports History Network and also known around these parts as the Football History Dude. Now, before we get into this episode, I just want to give you a huge thank you for all of the support that you've given the Sports History Network over the years. And as we close out this year, I just want to wish you happy holidays. And you're going to hear from other members of the network here at the end of this episode, so stay tuned. And speaking of these other members, well, let's jump right into another episode presented by the Sports History Network.
You know, I'm really stoked to tell you about the football history for January 31st, because we have some great, great stories to tell you about some legends on their birthdays and some football lore of the Super Bowl and some Pro Bowl games. We're going to talk about all of that in just a moment. Pigskin Dispatch is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network at sportshistorynetwork.com. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the football history headlines for this last day in January, January 31st. But before we get started in the headlines, I want to remind you that tomorrow starts our Search for Yardage contest, where you go to our search box on the PigskinDispatch.com website, and you will enter in a keyword that we'll start giving you tomorrow. We're going to give you one each day, and there's going to be some hidden in our articles, too. We have the rules posted of the contest rules, so make sure you read those so you understand the game, because there's some good examples there of what to do. But just look for those yellow triangles on after you do your search, and you will get yardage, most yardage at the end of the week, which is on February 7th, end of the day. That's the winner, and they'll win a nice prize. So make sure you check out those rules. Now let's get to your football history headlines. January 31st, 1982, the NFL Pro Bowl was played at Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. The final score had the AFC squad defeating their counterparts of the NFC by the score of 16-13. There were co-MVPs in this game, as Kellen Winslow Sr., a tight end from San Diego Chargers, shared the honor with Leroy Selman, the standout defensive end of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. January 31st, 1988, at Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego. Super Bowl 22 was not a very close one when the Denver Broncos faced the Washington Redskins. The Broncos jumped out quickly to a 10-0 lead after Ricky Natel caught a John Elway pass for 56 yards and a score. But the powerful Washington team rattled off 42 unanswered points as quarterback Doug Williams caught fire and threw for 340 yards and four TDs to help the Washington Redskins cruise to a 42-10 victory. The MVP was Doug Williams, per the Pro Football Reference website. January 31st, 1993, at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Super Bowl 27 had some special historic moments. The Buffalo Bills became the second team since the early 1970s Dolphins to play in three straight Super Bowls. It's interesting that this would be the third different NFC team that the Bills would meet in this run of Super Bowls for them. The Cowboys were just four seasons removed from having a league-worst 1-15 record, and now they had climbed to the highest mountain in the NFL. Super Bowl 27 was shaped up to be an interesting one indeed, but one team had come in just a little bit more prepared than the other. According to the American Football Fandom site, Dallas forced a Super Bowl record 9 turnovers, 4 interceptions, and 5 lost fumbles, and scored 35 points off of those Bills' miscues. The Dallas Cowboys won in a landslide 52-17 over the Bills. Troy Aikman, the quarterback of the Cowboys, won the Most Valuable Player honors as he tossed 4 touchdown passes and racked up 273 yards through the air. Another interesting note is that a 30-second commercial spot costs $850,000. Remember that total, because we're going to talk about that a little bit more in another Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, let's talk about that Super Bowl. January 31st, 1999, at Pro Player Stadium in Miami, Florida. Super Bowl 33 featured the Dirty Birds of the Atlanta Falcons facing the AFC champs, the Denver Broncos. Denver was the defending champs, as a year earlier they had defeated Green Bay for the franchise's first championship, per the PFR. Quarterback John Elway was getting a little long in a tooth, but his mastery of the offense was never in doubt. The Falcons were appearing in their first Super Bowl, led by quarterback Chris Chandler and running back Jamal Anderson. The Broncos were a little bit too much for the upstart Atlanta Falcons, though, as they grounded the Falcons 34-19. Elway, who threw for 336 yards and a touchdown, took home the MVP trophy and traveled to Disney. A 30-second commercial during this Super Bowl would set you back a cool $1.6 million. January 31st, 2010, Sun Life Stadium in Miami Gardens. The NFL Pro Bowl had a game where the AFC was one-upping the NFC 41-34. The MVP of the game was Matt Schaub of the Houston Texans signal caller. January 31st, 2016, Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. The NFL Pro Bowl team of Team Irvin defeated Team Rice 49-27. Of course, we're talking about Michael Irvin and Jerry Rice, who were the captains that picked the teams. As the NFL was still in a series of games where the two legends would divide the Pro Bowlers up instead of playing conference versus conference matchups. The dual most valuable players were Seattle Seahawks, both of them, quarterback Russell Wilson and defensive end Michael Bennett. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about the gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Now that's some good stuff there. And some other good stuff is on this podcast. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking with Craig Woodard Sr. from Tampa during the Super Bowl week. And he's got a special event happening down there that I think you'll want to hear about, where it's going to concern some NFL veterans, and it's going to be helping some people down there. And we want to make sure you check that out. And Craig's going to tell us all about it tomorrow in our interview with him. And let's go to our birthdays of Hall of Famers now. January 31st, 1909 in Hinsdale, Illinois. Burt Metzger, the guard from Notre Dame, was born. The Irish teams of 1929 and 1930 win a combined record of 19-0, and Burt Metzger, according to the NFF, was the leading interference with aggressive skill and determination for Notre Dame as they racked up 410 points to the opponent's 112 in those two seasons. Burt was a big part of the blocking tacklers away from the Irish ball carriers. The National Football Foundation voters selected Burt Metzger to gain entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1982. Our next end of January birthday happened in 1913, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. The fine Alabama end, Don Hutson, celebrated his birth. The footballfoundation.org website tells how what a great route running, elusive speed and spurts Don Hutson had has set the standards for pass receivers to come. Hutson once hauled in six passes for 165 yards and two touchdowns in Alabama's 29-13 victory over Stanford in a Rose Bowl. Don was an All-American selection in 1934, and that season was brilliant by Hutson as he played the signature games, such as when he scored the winning touchdown on a 9-yard run end around against Tennessee in a 13-6 tied victory. The Clemson game that year, he caught six passes and scored two touchdowns. The National Football Foundation placed Don Hutson into the inaugural College Football Hall of Fame class in 1951, as we just discussed that just a few days ago on the Football History Headlines. After leaving Alabama, Hutson played 11 seasons with the Green Bay Packers. He was an All-Pro nine times, even leading the league in pass receptions eight different times, as he led the league in scoring five times. Once, his crowning accomplishment was to be named the NFL's most valuable player twice. He finished his pro career with 7,991 yards and 488 pass receptions. Don Hutson had no trouble gaining entrance into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1963. January 31st, 1913, Roxbury, Massachusetts. Wayne Milner, the legendary end from the University of Notre Dame, was born. According to the National Football Foundation's bio on him, Double L Milner was a hero in two spectacular Fighting Irish wins during a dismal season otherwise in South Bend in 1933. Notre Dame had won only two of its first eight games and was scheduled against an unbeaten Army team. When 1 minute left to play, Notre Dame trailed the Cadets by six, with his legendary teammate Moose Krause leading the way for him. Milner blocked an Army punt and recovered it for a touchdown. Notre Dame won the game 13-12 on that last-minute heroics. Another story had Milner catching a late touchdown pass from quarterback Bill Shakespeare with 32 seconds left to lift the Irish to an 18-13 victory over Ohio State in a battle of unbeatens. He ended up having the honor of All-American status in two different seasons. The National Football Foundation selected Wayne Milner in 1990 to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame. After college, Milner joined the Boston Redskins and played 11 seasons for them, being interrupted briefly for his military service during the war. When he retired, he was a top pass catcher in Redskins history. Probably his highlight game in the NFL was the 1937's championship game, where he caught a touchdown passes of 55 and 78 yards. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Wayne Milner in 1968. January 31st, 1938, Oakland, California, the great Stanford end, Chris Burford was born. The National Football Foundation voters chose the legacy of Chris Burford to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1995. Our last birthday took place on January 31st, 1953. Brenham, Texas. Roosevelt Leaks, the running back from Texas University, arrived into his life. Leaks was the first African-American Texas Longhorns player to earn All-America honors, according to the NFF. Roosevelt Leaks finished his college career with 2,923 yards and 26 touchdowns in just three seasons and was recognized as a consensus All-American in 1973. The National Football Foundation selected Roosevelt Leaks to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2006. Now, thanks again, once again, for joining us for these football history headlines. And make sure you join us tomorrow, because, like we said, we're going to start some interviews and we're going to get into some great football history by talking to some others that really know the game. And first one is going to be Craig Woodard Sr. and what a career he had and stories he's had to tell us. And what a great event this young man has coming up the day before the Super Bowl down in Tampa. So make sure you check that out. And you can do that by hitting the subscribe button. You'll know as soon as we release it, you can join us then. Or you can go to a couple different places, your favorite podcast provider. You can go to thepigskindispatch.com or email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Get on our email list. And while you're doing that, you might as well stay and play our game, the Search for Yardage game on thepigskindispatch.com, starting tomorrow, February 1st, running through February 7th. So make sure you get into that contest. It's pretty exciting, and you'll get to see all of the great content that we have on pigskindispatch.com and the Sports History Network, which sportshistorynetwork.com is another place you can find this podcast and some other excellent podcasts on sports histories. We're adding more all the time. I think we're up to like 16 or 17 different podcasts right now. It's just growing like wildfire, and folks, you got to check this out, because there is some great talented podcasters on there that I really look up to and really enjoy listening to, and I think you will too. So make sure you check that out, sportshistorynetwork.com. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Mark Mortier from Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. I just wanted to thank everyone who has listened to my podcasts and read my articles during the year of 2023. I wish you all a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, or whatever holiday you may be celebrating, and for a joyful New Year. Thank you once again.
This is Hart Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, a part of the Sports History Network. We here at Sports History Network want to wish everyone a wonderful holiday season and extend our gratitude for your support of the Sports History Network. Happy holidays to all.
Hi, my friends of sports history. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcast. I want to thank you for supporting the Sports History Network and all of us podcasters here, along with our podcasts and our other works, such as our websites and books, especially my podcast, the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Jersey Dispatch podcast, and the Orville Mulligan Sports Writer podcast that I helped co-create and produce with Oz Davis. Also, thanks a lot for supporting my book, The World's Greatest Pro Gridiron Team, the 1903 Franklin All-Stars. And remember the reason for the season coming up here at the holidays, and spend time with your family and friends and enjoy each other. Have a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.